As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Missed it, and B.
Good morning and welcome to the Daily Ding. Happy Thursday, everybody. I am Dave DeFore, and I'm joined as I am every Thursday morning by my man, Andrew Schlecht. What's up, Andrew? Did the Thunder play?
What's up? They did. They lost.
Did they play? Did we get a report on that? Have they won a game this month?
Not this month. No, it's been the perfect month.
It's pretty impressive that they have fully committed to the tank at this point. And it's about time. It's overdue.
It is. It's great. We're all basking in all the losses right now.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, we're not talking about the Thunder. But we are going to talk about what was a marquee matchup, potential finals preview between the Phoenix Suns and the Philadelphia 76ers, which is a crazy statement to make, but it's just the truth. And you know, I think we got to start out by saying, look, the Suns won this game 116-113. My big takeaway that I have from every single Phoenix Suns game. Number one, the Phoenix Suns are all about business. It is what they do. There are no shenanigans. This is an adult basketball team. Mm-hmm. It's actually very, very fun to watch a team that's this in sync and this committed to their principles. It's fantastic. And number two, Chris Paul is not having his praises sung enough.
Chris was great. He was awesome. It's funny, I actually walked away from this game, and this happens rarely, very impressed by both teams. This was a really impressive win by Phoenix. They obviously incredible performance by Chris Paul, 28 points, 8 assists. But then you got just great performances by everybody else. I actually loved the grit that Devin Booker showed in this game. I thought he defended well, and I thought that his shot making, while he was being just completely hounded by Matisse Thybulle the whole time, Thybulle was just getting in him the whole game, blocking his shots, blocking his jump shots, just staying with him. But Booker just kept coming back, and Booker ended up sealing this game for them down the stretch. I just thought it was just fantastic. But yeah, Chris Paul does deserve more praise league-wide for what he's doing.
Well, to your point about Booker, the shot he hit had Thybulle just draped all over him, and he was fading out of bounds. I mean, it was just an incredibly tough shot. And I think that he's one of the best tough shot makers in the league right now as far as stars
no
go.
Question.
And this was probably the toughest shot he's hit all year. But let's talk about Thybulle for a minute, because I agree with you. I thought the Sixers were pretty impressive despite losing this game. You know, it's one of these games where the Suns won. The Sixers didn't lose. But if you were to point to some of the things that they could have improved, the 16 turnovers, not great. Only shooting 25 threes when the Suns shoot 42. That's bad. They did play this game with no Ben Simmons and no Seth Curry. So, you know, they're down two guys, and that's kind of a big deal. And I thought they were great because of the defense from guys like Thybulle. And Joel Embiid was fantastic. Danny Green had a great game. The Sixers are a real team. And you talked about guys stepping up and playing big in these big games, and there's been a lot of these lately where we're getting star games from stars. Well, Joel Embiid had 38 points, 17 rebounds, 9 offensive rebounds in a game that clearly the Sixers were trying. I mean, they were trying hard to win this game. They really wanted this because the Suns are a big-time opponent.
Yeah, no Tobias Harris too, which I think is probably the biggest one in this game because they just lacked creation outside of Embiid. Because who is it? It's Tyrese Maxey. And Maxey played great.
Well, Danny Green can run some pick and roll if you really, really need it. I mean, in case of emergency, break glass.
Right. He did hit that fall-away shot, that fall-away two-pointer to end the half to tie it. But yeah, they just lack shot creation. And Shake can do that some. And Tyrese Maxey can do that some, and George Hill can do that some. But they needed just a shot maker, and I think that's where Tobias Harris steps in. And I don't know. I was still impressed with what they brought because they had basically Embiid surrounded by just a bunch of role players. I thought Dwight played really good minutes when he came in. I thought freaking Korkmaz was really good. Danny Green, obviously, Tybull that we've already mentioned. I thought everybody played really well around Embiid. They just didn't really have enough offensive juice. And still, credit to Embiid. Man, they threw everything at him. They were throwing a double every time, and he still just barreled his way to the rim, and he hit threes, and he just did everything.
That's something that he's improved on so much this year, right? Like, just being patient when that double comes and actually looking to make the right play.
Yes.
And it helps because, you know, Seth Curry has been a great release foul for him, and in this game, he didn't quite have that. And you know, look, it's a long season. You can't have a take about every single game. But I think my takeaway from this is I like how Philly played shorthanded.
Yes.
Like, I mean, this is to me, that was a moral victory for them. The win or loss doesn't really matter all that much for them in the standings. But I thought it was a moral victory to get the kind of performances they got off the bench. George Hill was good.
Yeah.
You know, Maxey, I thought down the stretch, Maxey was good. Mm-hmm. You know, putting pressure on the defense, keeping guys on their heels. Fantastic. On the other side, DeAndre Ayton deserves a shout out. He had 10 points, 5 rebounds in this game, but he won his minutes. Mm-hmm. And you know, you're not going to beat Joel Embiid, especially if you're DeAndre Ayton. You're too young. You're too green. You're not big enough. You're not quite good enough yet. But I thought he did pretty well.
Yeah, this is going to be a game won on the perimeter too for Phoenix, and that's how they won the game through Chris Paul, Devin Booker, Mikal Bridges was great again. Cam Johnson campaign. Javon Carter came in and hit like 3 threes in a row for them, which was huge at the time. So huge credit to all of them. And then, man, we have to mention it. That last shot from Embiid. First of all, you have the 93% free throw shooter, Chris Paul, missing a free throw, which is just, it just doesn't happen. And then Embiid gets the ball one-handed, throws it.
85 feet. 85 feet.
In and out. I mean, I thought that was one of the crazier shots I've ever seen. I feel like we were robbed today of just greatness.
They should have sent it to overtime anyway. Right? They should have just sent it to overtime.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
In the late game, the Denver Nuggets beat the Portland Trailblazers 106-105. And look, this one kind of had everything I wanted out of it. You know, no Jamal Murray. Obviously, he had his ACL surgery today, and it was successful. That's all good news. So hopefully he's back and doesn't have to miss any extra time next year. We wish him a speedy recovery. But we got crunch time with Nikola Jokic and Damian Lillard. And to me, that is the most must-watch TV in the NBA. The Portland Trailblazers have been crazy outliers all year in crunch time. We just talked about this the other night. They didn't have Dame the other night. They had him tonight, and it was tied 103 to 103 with 137 left. And Jokic does what he does.
Yeah, he drew fouls. He got to the free throw line, and he made enough free throws to get them this win. They just kind of squeaked by the Blazers. And that's, to me, that's probably how the Nuggets are going to win a lot of games moving forward the rest of the season. They're still trying to figure out who they are outside of Jokic being awesome. And it's going to be just different guys stepping up from night to night. Obviously, really, the whole starting lineup was great tonight. And then who is it off the bench? Tonight, PJ Dozier played great minutes for them. But then, I mean, they have newly acquired Austin Rivers coming in. Like, Austin Rivers can come in and give you some stuff sometimes. So that will be helpful, especially if you feel like you can't play Campazzo because of his size. I like what the Nuggets bring. They're still real frisky. And I love watching the Jokic-Nurkic battle overall. Those guys just go at it. And they have that history from playing together in Denver. And that just continues. And you know that they're both just like going after it when they play against each other. I love it.
Yeah, they were really mixing it up down the stretch. I actually, Nurkic, I think, caught Jokic accidentally in the chest with a pretty hard elbow. Jokic blocked a shot of Nurkic at the basket in crunch time basically saved a layup and possibly won the game on the defensive end, which I know is something that a lot of people won't give Jokic credit for, but it was a great play. I think that, to your point about needing guys to step up, you know, you mentioned it. Starting lineup was great tonight. You had Jokic leading the way with 25 points, but every other starter had at least 12. I mean, that's huge. And that's what you got to do when you lose a star. Next man up. I know this sounds cliche, but they need Michael Porter Jr. to pick up some slack. And I know he's kind of the third guy. Well, he's got to act like the second guy. And I think the guy that they really need more out of is going to be Will Barton. He had a great game the other night. He had 28 points. Had 14 in this one. Only 4 assists, and this is a guy that they leaned on very, very much for playmaking before Jamal Murray kind of came into his own as a playmaker. I think that if they can get some more out of Will Barton, we're all going to start feeling much better about this team.
No doubt, and I feel like he's a guy that could increase his usage as well. I mean, only 13 shots tonight. I think you can increase that to 15, 16 shots per night for Barton.
Yeah. How'd you feel about Dame? First game back from the hammy issue. I thought he looked okay.
Yeah, he looked like Dame for the most part. I wish that he would have gotten in that action at the end of the game. He was a little slow to catch up with the group, but without Dame, like, they just don't survive the rest of the season. Like, they're in the play-in if Dame's not there, because they're right now, I think they're a half game back.
Well, they're almost in the play-in now. With the Mavs win and their loss, they're now a half game up with the sixth seed on the Mavericks. And look, man, like, their defense is atrocious. I mean, Portland just has no defense whatsoever. Mm-hmm. I just can't trust them. I mean, they're going to be in the play-in. I firmly believe it. They've outperformed how good their team actually is. I mean, the outlier performances in crunch time, it's a little bit of fool's gold when you look at their record. I think we're about to see the bottom drop out a little bit.
Well, at least we don't have to hear it from Mark Cuban anymore.
Well, that's going to do it for today's show. Don't forget about all the other basketball shows that we've got on the Athletic Podcast Network. You know all the names. Don't forget to check them out and set up notifications on the app so you actually know when new episodes drop. Go to theathletic.com/dailyding now and sign up if you haven't already. And thank you guys for waking up with us, as you always do. Andrew, take us home.
Ding, ding.